Welcome to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural. Be the Natural Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kirikan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKirikan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter, which is now on Substack. Now, our guest today is John Jaarsveld, and John Jaarsveld is an acupuncturist in the Netherlands. And you can find out more about John Jaarsveld and his wonderful work at his website, www.itchi-go.nl. Welcome, John Jaarsveld.
Thank you very much.
So we've got a really special show for you today, because here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, I like to talk to experts in natural healing from all over the world, and we're talking to John Jaarsveld from the Netherlands today. And part of what I want everyone to understand is how this stuff works. So we're going to be learning today how acupuncture works. So, John Jaarsveld, what inspired you to become an acupuncturist?
I was really inspired by a deep curiosity into nature, into how things work. So, originally, I studied chemistry at university level. And after a while, I discovered that wasn't it for me. When I started studying this, I thought, well, if you look into molecules, into the chemical portions of things, that must give me the answers of what I'm looking for, how the world is built from things. But pretty quickly, it turned out not to be the case. My curiosity was not satisfied, and I didn't want to be in a chemical laboratory for the rest of my life. So for several years, I would say around 10 years, I really tried everything I could, meditation, workshops, esotericism, massage, martial arts. I studied many martial arts. And after about 10 years, I came to a crossroad. I realized I need to, you know, bring my explorations to an end and go for the next step. And I decided on acupuncture, as that's a wonderful modality, has a lot of power to heal people, but there's also a big literature on it. For me, it's important that whatever I do, there's an intellectual discussion, there is an intellectual tradition behind it. Not to say anything less about traditions that do not have this side, but for me, it was something that counted. So I went to acupuncture school, I studied there, and after graduating, after getting my diploma, I started an internship with Kiko Matsumoto Sensei, who's my main teacher now. And for years, I studied everything I could, her books, her lectures, her workshops. Anybody who's interested in acupuncture, I recommend checking her work out as well. And that brought me to where I am now.
So for our audience, will you share again the name of your teacher and where she is located?
Of course, of course. The name of my teacher is Kiko Matsumoto. She's a Japanese person living in Massachusetts, United States. She's 72 years old, but still working in her clinic. And I still try to learn as much as I can from this wonderful, wonderful person.
Yes, and I think that many of us in natural healing have found a wonderful teacher. My teacher is actually in Canada, and I continue to study with her, even though I'm 66. Now, for listeners new to acupuncture, how does acupuncture work? Can you explain that for us?
Of course, I can. So what most people think of when they hear the word acupuncture is a needle or something with a needle. And that's not incorrect, but it would be the same if you were discussing, say, surgery. It would say, well, A surgery is just somebody using a scalpel to cut people open. That would be technically correct, but rather not really flattering for the surgeon and really not do justice to the complexity what they deal with. And the same with acupuncture. Yes, needles are our tools that we use, but much more important than the mere tool is that we really try to use the Chinese philosophy, the Chinese way, the traditional way to view the body and its environment to find why is this person not healing? Why is this? There's some complaint. This could be pain. This could be anything else. And where can I do an intervention to make the rivers flow again? Because we see the body as a whole, say a country with rivers, and the rivers do not flow, or maybe they are overflowed. There's a flood maybe. So we try to manipulate the rivers, the blood flows, the flows of other things in the body, to drain any swamps or floods there may be, or to bring nourishment and moisture and nourishments to the places that do need it.
Okay, great explanation. And I love that you're using the analogy of rivers of energy. I use that analogy as well. Now, one of the things that I know is that there has been scientific research done about the connection between acupuncture points and the brain. So, for example, I can touch a specific acupuncture point on my body, and a specific point will register in my brain. From your research, Jan Jarsfeld, what is the connection between acupuncture points and our brain?
A good question. There's no simple answer to it, as we do not see the brain as separate from the rest of the body. This is something that's very typical in Western societies, that many of us think we are our brain, and the rest of our body is a more or less imperfect, uncomfortable add-on to this gray matter that is our brain. This is not a traditional view. The traditional view, we are a whole body, including all the blood, all the muscle, all the lymph nodes, all the glands. And this gives a very different view of what we are, how we are in our body, but also the importance of the whole body. So for Western people, it's often important that if you say, for example, Hegel, that's the point you mentioned, influence brain activity. Yes, it does. But is that the most important thing? It's often seen as, oh, that validates the use of acupuncture. But if Hegel would not influence these brain signals on the MRI, for example, I would still use it because it's still useful in practice. And this is a big thing from Oriental medicine in general. It's experience-based. We have found that certain things work for certain conditions and we use them. And yes, research can help refine these things. It can support them. It can help us maybe find better solutions. Absolutely. We're nowhere against any science, but it's not the basis for the practice. It can inform the practice, but finding one acupuncture point would not do this in the brain, would not invalidate it for all the uses we already have for it.
Now, can you explain for our audience what is the five element theory that is the basis of acupuncture and traditional Chinese medicine?
The five elements theory was originally developed in China for political reasons and then adopted for medicine. The reason is, yeah, I think I can explain it this way. They have a concept in China all under one sky, Tianxia. And that basically means everything is one. And under the one, there are different fractions. And this is a basis for even current Chinese politics and Chinese thinking. And they adopted this model for politics on the human body. So the whole human body is one whole. And within the human body, there are different fractions, different parts with different functions. Just like, say, an organization would have a legal department, a sales department, human resources department, who have their own tasks, but should be working together. Even though they may have their own culture, maybe with their own habits, If the different departments within one organizations do not work together well, the organization is ill, you could say. It's not working well. And then a good manager ideally would find the parts that were not working well and improve their function, maybe by hiring extra people or possibly firing somebody or whatever would be appropriate. The five elements, the Wu Qing you're referring to, is part of this way of thinking. The whole is one whole, but five major phases can be identified. And I like to use the word phase instead of element, because element gives the image of something unchanging, fixed, and phase makes it much more fluid. And this is really the way Chinese thinking works. Things are fluid. So usually you would have the five phases of water, wood, fire, earth, metal, and I got them all right. Oh, five.
Element, metal, water, fire, earth, metal,
What?
water, wood.
Yeah,
Yes.
and earth. Yeah,
And earth, yes.
and so they flow into each other. And if we say there's too much of one phase dominating the body, this can give an imbalance and give problems. So, for example, you could work on releasing some of that excessive energy, excessive qi to some other department. Just as, for example, one department in an organization may have too many people working there, not enough chairs maybe, or and you would say, oh, this person can move from one department to the next one where they have not enough people.
So, how does acupuncture restore balance in the body according to traditional Chinese medicine?
Yes. So again, according to traditional Chinese medicine, which goes back around 2,000 years to 2,200 years, the body is a country, and these rivers really are the rivers of blood. They're very concrete, material things. If I insert a needle into the skin, through the skin, into the muscle or whatever that. It makes like the same if a river would have like debris or some mud clogging it. I would clean out the mud or the dam or whatever is inappropriately there, and it would start flowing again, making the area after that river more healthy and more appropriately nourished. Often people ask, "Oh, can acupuncture help me with this or that condition?" And it's one of the hardest things to answer. I completely understand the answer because the patient has a certain ailment, or and they want a solution for this. This is a very rightful question, and it's very easy to say some things that acupuncture cannot do. If you lose your leg, acupuncture will not be able to regrow your leg. But as a rule of thumb, if your body would be able to heal it, if your body would function, say, 30% more efficiently, acupuncture can give you this boost to really heal itself. If you take pain, for example, generally, if I ask people the question, would your body be able to deal and heal pain? You would generally say, yes, your body is able to restore pain. Or if there's any inflammation, yeah, the body itself is able to get rid of this inflammation. So then acupuncture can come in, make the whole body work more efficiently by, and then it can clear the problem itself.
Now, what are some of the most common health conditions that you treat with acupuncture? And what kind of results have you seen in your practice?
The most common ailment undoubtedly is pain. And pain is something that really troubles people. Really, it's something hurts. It really motivates you to seek help, any help. And if the help that is offered doesn't help, you're really motivated to try to find something else. So pain is number one. Number two is autoimmune diseases. Autoimmune diseases, the word itself is autoimmune. The body itself, the immune system of the body itself is attacking itself. And acupuncture can do a great job by restoring the balance and really diminishing or even getting rid of the body attacking itself. Of course, we have to be very careful to speak of a cure, but generally the results are good. Number three, probably are hormonal issues. And similar to autoimmune diseases, they may be related or not. All hormones in the body are related to all other hormones. So it's a bit big network of hormones that do things and change and are influenced by, for example, the stress with some of the foods we eat. And it quickly gets very complicated. And I'm a big believer that if you have to go on very complicated explanations, they're probably not the best. I try to find something that is as simple as possible, but still correct, still explains the whole. I think that's as a rule of thumb, that's very useful. So, and in the case of hormones, there's many things that influence hormones. In women, that's very well known, but in men the same. And with acupuncture, again, we can help the hormones balance themselves, because if the glands are well nourished, not under stress, there's adequate flow of lymph and blood, and they can function well, then all other hormones also get a chance to rebalance themselves. And I'd say the fourth health condition that's really rapidly growing that people seek help with is oncology support. So just to be clear, we don't treat the cancer itself, but we treat the side effects of radiotherapy or chemotherapy, or things like pain or neuropathy that may result from either the therapy or the cancer itself.
Great information. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and we're listening to John Jaarsveld from the Netherlands, acupuncturist, and he's explaining to us how acupuncture works. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tennis Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with the Skin Comfort Formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show. Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer here. We're listening to acupuncturist John Jaarsveld from the Netherlands. Now, John Jaarsveld, when I've had acupuncture, and I've had a lot of acupuncture over the many years I've practiced natural healing, some acupuncturists read your pulse. And other people, other acupuncturists simply do an interview, and then based on what they intuitively find, they place the needles. How do you personalize acupuncture treatments?
Good question. So part of this different approaches to acupuncture is because it had such a long history. over 2,000 years in an area that's really massive, from say Tibet to Japan and from Mongolia to Vietnam. People have practiced acupuncture, and many Western people fail to appreciate how rich all these different traditions and schools of thoughts are. So it's absolutely valid for people within the acupuncture profession, within the Chinese medicine profession, to have different approaches. They can all be good practitioners. Asking questions is something that's generally, I think, a good idea, because it can just give you information that you just cannot get any other way when somebody had an accident or an operation or some specifics. Pulse reading, I think, also is very important. It's mentioned in all the classics, and in China in generally, it's seen as more important than asking questions. I do it. I do read the pulse, but for me, asking questions or a good medical history is one of the most important tools. And I'll explain later why. But also, I do a lot of palpation, a palpation of the abdomen, of the neck, of the back as well. And this is really the influence of my teacher, Japanese acupuncture teacher Kiko Matsumoto, who really developed a system within Chinese medicine. It's not separate from Chinese medicine, to evaluate what's going on. And one of the big advantages of palpation is that it's very easy to recognize if the acupuncture is doing something. So if I find a spot on the abdomen that is significant for whatever reason, and usually I press gently and see if something is tender or a little bit hard. And then, of course, through my training and my study, I have an idea what could be the reason why the spot is painful. I press the point on the body that I think that will help release this part. And if it does, it's a good indication that there's a connection. I press a put on the point on the foot, and the belly or the neck doesn't have any more pain. Well, it's doing some good. So even if I think I'm correct, then it's very easy. I just needle it. But the body is very complex. People's medical history is very complex. People's backgrounds are very complex. They may not be able to tell me everything. They may not want to tell me everything that's happened in their lives for various reasons, or they may not even remember. And in this complexity, it's very good to really bring it down to the here and now. I press something and something gets better. I press here under the liver, it's painful, it's stiff. I press a point on the foot, oh, the liver gets soft and it's nice and flowing. Something improves from painful, stiff, not functioning well, to functioning well and soft and not painful. That is a step in the right direction. That is something in the body that is able to heal itself again. So even if I don't fully understand why this is happening in the body of the patient, the patient's body is showing me this is what I need. This is something in the right direction. So even if it's not maybe 100% on one treatment, even if it's just 10, 20% towards functioning better, I trust the body to pick up from there and do whatever is necessary.
Now, John Jarsfeld, you are a highly trained and highly experienced acupuncturist. And many of us in natural healing also practice acupressure. So, for example, I've been trained in different forms of acupressure. What is the difference between acupuncture and acupressure?
Okay, so the word acupuncture comes from the Latin acus, meaning a needle, and puncture, meaning pricking. So it's the pricking of the needle. Acupressure is a much more modern word, where they found that they read about different points and what it could do, and they tried with pressing on the point and see if there's an effect. I originally, before I practiced acupuncture, trained as a shiatsu therapist for 4 years. So I did a lot of training, body work, all kinds of body work, all kind of massage techniques. So I know very well how it works, and I think it's very, very valuable. I think all acupuncturists have some training in body mechanics and the mechanics, how to touch somebody and where to touch and to feel the points. I think that's Incredibly important. And also, to practice is very valuable and very powerful. It's easy to for me or somebody like me or an acupuncturist to say, well, you need a needle. And don't get me wrong, the needle is an incredibly powerful tool because it goes really directly to the spots where something needs to be done. But the power of human touch, of fingers, especially when you've trained your fingers and they go with attention, with some intention, that should not be underestimated. So I think acupressure or massage or whatever you want to call it is very, very powerful and very valuable. Again, because the interaction between one body and the other body is so valuable. I think just to say acupressure is only acupuncture without needles is doing it a disservice. It's more than that. And yes, things are similar because bodies are similar, and similarly, ideas about how the body functions and where we sh you know you can try to make more space in the body. Yes, there's similarities, but I would see them as parallel and certainly as supportive of each other. But it's not that you should say one is a version of the other. I think that's not doing it right.
Now, what exactly is cupping?
Ah, yes. Cupping is very popular all over the world, and it may be, we don't know how old it is, but cupping is the use of certain vacuum tools that you put on the skin, typically the back or the front of the torso, but it can be done literally all over the body. And through the vacuum, it sucks up the muscles and the skin, and it stretches the fascia. To start, there's two types of cupping: wet cupping and dry cupping. Wet cupping, there's a little incision made, so blood comes out, and that gives a little bit different effect. Cupping is done literally all over the world. We found in ancient Egypt, many thousands of years, tools that really undoubtedly were used for cupping. It's been used in Africa with horns of cows. It's been done in Thailand with pieces of bamboo. In Europe, in the Middle Ages, they would use glass balls that they heated with a little flame and put on. So there's different techniques. Nowadays, usually we use a little hand pump that's very convenient, very hygienic. That's modern way, but there's nothing wrong with the old ways where you use a little flame to heat it and put it on. Would you like me to show one?
Not for our, not, no,
Okay.
thank you. Just
I understand.
because our audience,
Okay.
our listening
I
audience
understand. I
here.
understand. No problem. So cupping is very old and used literally all over the world. Especially in the Arabic countries, wet cupping is very popular. They call it hijama. And they especially like the blood coming out. And I want to say it is a different technique. It's, again, I'm not saying better or worse than dry cupping, but it's a different technique. It has a different goal. With wet cupping, really, if there's blood pooled in the superficial artery veins, then you really want to remove this old pooled blood, and this is where wet cupping really shines. And dry cupping, equally valuable, will do more like a massage-like technique where the muscle and tissue and fascia are pulled up and really giving a really good stretch. It's often used by acupuncturists. I use it. And yeah, it's a great technique.
And John Jarsfeld, can you explain for our audience what exactly is moxibustion?
Right. Moxibustion is one of the tools I really, really love. If we look at a Chinese word for acupuncture, actually it's a needle plus heat, and a moxibustion is the heat. There's a really wide variety of uses of heat we can use. The most well-known use of moxibustion in the West is actually a cigar-like thing that is held above acupuncture points to heat the points. But a much older form is when it's put directly on the skin. and light it, and then it gives a little burn, little mosquito bites like burn. It's really not too bad. And this is an older form, a more traditional form, but there's forms like putting ginger on the skin and moxibustion on top, or garlic. There's also the possibility to put a needle in and then a little bowl of moxa on top of the needle and lightening it. Oh, and I should probably mention, moxa is made of a herb of the Artemisia family, and the leaves are dried and gone through a sieve and processed for usually a couple of years before it's ready. So it's a very soft material, very airy. It burns really gently and easily, and yeah, it's used for many applications. The school of acupuncture that I was trained in uses moxibustion a lot, because in Japanese this was better preserved than in mainland China. So I use it a lot, and in the classic books of traditional Chinese medicine, it says that moxibustion especially tonifies, because there's a little heat. There's the addition of heat and also light that really adds something to the body. And very recent research has shown there are actually little pathways in the body that really react to heat and to some of the chemicals in moxibustion. And again, this is really cutting-edge research, but the interest from pharmaceutical companies in exploiting these pathways has been great. As far as I know, they have not been able to make any drug that would affect them, but moxibustion almost certainly does. So it's different from the needles, but really an aligned therapy. And it takes quite a bit of skill to really use it skillfully, to make them small, not to burn the patient, but it's something I really love to do.
Now, John Jarlsfeld, you has very generously offered a free book about moxibustion for our audience. Where can people email you to get a free copy of the book? What's the best
Yeah.
way?
Well, maybe the best way is, can I send you a link to publish under the interview or something, where they can download it from a website?
Yes, I will put it on my YouTube channel if you
Yes,
send me
please
the
do.
link.
No problem. I can we can make a link from a website and can just directly download it for free. And it's a book written by a good friend of mine, Bosch Becker, with many points to use for moxibustion. Obviously, doing the moxibustion itself will take some skill, and there is a slight risk that people burn themselves. So I would say caution, go to a place where they can teach you how to do it, get some instruction on how to do it. But the book will give you many inspirations of what is possible with moxibustion. And in Japan, for example, every drugstore, every chemist will carry moxibustion kits that people buy, and it will have a little instruction booklet with it. So you can use these points for, say, shoulder pain, you use these points for swollen ankle, whatever. And I love that that way you can do it in the home, you can try something out, and you have another way to heal yourself without necessarily using a herb or a supplement or something you put in your mouth.
And for our audience, I'd like to give everyone John Jarlsfeld website again. It's www.itchi-go.nl. And so will you put a link on your website where people can download the book?
Yes, absolutely.
So where would we go to download the book about moxibustion? Just go to the website, go to
Yeah, the website in the bottom has a little sign, downloads. When you click downloads, there's a couple of forms, and then downloads and a moxibustion book, and it will download as a PDF.
Wonderful. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, and our guest today has been John Jarlsfeld. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Cappuccino, latte, Americano. Flat white, macchiato.
Just imagine, for less than the price of a single cup of coffee out on the high street, you could enjoy an award-winning online magazine every month with up-to-the-minute information on health and healthy lifestyle. Sounds like a good trade-off? Check out Health Triangle Magazine on the UKHealthRadio.com website. Just sacrifice a single cup of coffee every month.
Let's all put health first.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
John Yarsfeld, you are an acupuncturist and needles are part of your craft. I've had lots of acupuncture and I've never found the needles to hurt. What would you say to someone who's hesitant about trying acupuncture for the first time?
Yeah, that's a question I get a lot. And it's not an easy question for me because I'm a professional and I want to use my tools to help people. So from my perspective, my personal perspective, so well, it won't hurt, just try it, because working on your health in a way that's safe and has a high chance of good results is highly recommended. But that will probably not be so easy for the person who's actually afraid of needles. So generally, I tell them, look, if you think of a needle, which is very scary for many people, you will just think of something that's unpleasant and that, you know, you perceive as something may hurt you. But think of it another way. I am a trained professional with, I can assure you, the best of intentions to help you. And I will promise you two things. First of all, I'll do my best. Second of all, I won't lie. So if we come to a point that I think it's not the best option for you to use acupuncture, or we've tried a couple of sessions and that's not the result we were aiming for, or, you know, you may need to make any alterations to your life or whatever, I will be upfront and tell you honestly what I think to the best of my ability. Obviously, as any human being, I can make mistakes. I may be short of skill or whatever, but I won't lie. I will not say things that I know are not true. And I'll do my best, meaning, yes, when you're on the table, I'll use whatever knowledge and skills I've acquired to your betterment. And I can assure you that I'm still studying and learning and trying to improve myself in many ways. So if you think of acupuncture and acupuncture this way, it's more easy to make a really good decision if you think you will want to try acupuncture, rather than to focus on the tool, which is a little bit difficult emotionally.
As someone who's received a lot of acupuncture, what I would say for our audience, if you've never had acupuncture, is that it's actually very relaxing. Very relaxing.
This is true. Most people find they really relax. Most people find the needle does not hurt as much as they had feared. The relaxation actually is a very important part of acupuncture, because we believe the relaxation's response really helps the body to, again, do whatever it needs to do. I do not claim to understand the body well enough to know how a body fixes even a small cut that you may accidentally do while making your dinner. But your body knows. And I just need the knowledge to work with your body. I just need to, and part of working with the body is that the person is relaxed, because then we come in a different state, a healing state, where we allow the body to do whatever it needs. And this is really what I try to do for my patients.
So John Jarosfeld, as a medical intuitive healer, many of my clients are seeing medical doctors at the same time. And I'm not anti-medicine, I'm not anti-anything, right? And I perhaps offer a perspective that maybe their medical doctors cannot. So how does acupuncture fit into traditional Western medicine, modern medicine? And can people receive both acupuncture and traditional Western medicine at the same time in your professional experience?
Absolutely, many do. Many do. Typically, people get it, depending, of course, on what is the problem, but getting acupuncture at the same time as any modern Western treatment is no problem at all. With the possibly, the only time I would say it's not so appropriate, if the person is already getting such intense treatments by the Western medical doctors that the schedule is already full. So then there's people who have treatments with, you know, maybe IVs or very intense physical therapy, 3, 4, 5 times a week. And if they contact me, if they think acupuncture is a good idea, and, you know, if I find out what's already doing, I generally advise them, take your rest. Because having rest, time for yourself, not having to take the time in the car, get to another clinic, and then what, to relax? Ideally, I would want them to have this acupuncture as an extra treatment. It's not something that you cannot do. But again, looking at the whole of the situation of the patient, it's probably not the best choice at that time, time-wise. Yes, I've had patients with many, 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 many different health complaints ongoing, many, many, many different Western treatments, and generally they find it helpful. If nothing else, it helps them relax. If people are so ill that they need intense Western medical treatment, maybe heavy drugs or whatever, again, taking into account that the schedule should not be too busy, right? Just being relaxed, just being a human again, just allowing your body to do whatever it does, because Western men is generally very directive. They want this to happen in the body. And again, also, I do not want to say anything bad about it. It really has good results in some cases. But there's also room for relaxing and allowing the body to follow its own path. And that's where acupuncture really, really shines. I mentioned that's the really fast-growing field of oncology acupuncture, which, you know, there's research from Harvard University that this is really, really very helpful with nausea, for example, pain, anxiety, many things that people suffering from cancer suffer from. And then acupuncture can be a great help to help with these conditions and feel better. In some cases, even, the acupuncture can help make it possible for people to continue treatment on, for example, some heavy drugs. I've seen this on drugs that were people who had to take very heavy doses of psychiatric medications, or very heavy drugs they need to take for infertility, or during oncology, during cancer treatments. Acupuncture can help raise the white blood cells, red blood cells, to the point that they continue treatment, which I think is great. And there's one of the wonderful things about acupuncture, again, is that it's embedded in a whole culture, in a whole context. In China, there's nobody who will say acupuncture doesn't work. You know, it is there in the hospitals. It is there because we want the best for the patient. And If acupuncture can add, well, any percentage really to the patient's well-being, well, let's try to add it in, right? And there's very little value for anybody to try to say, well, I would be better. I don't really believe in this kind of ego games. I think the quality of life for the patient should be paramount, and all the medicine is serving that goal.
Now, Jan Jarlsfeld, as an acupuncturist, what's one simple lifestyle change you recommend to complement acupuncture and support overall well-being?
Number one, I think, is regularity. If you look at diet, for example, there's so much advice on how to eat, what to eat, what not to eat, and a lot of it is valuable. I looked into it a bit in the past, and I don't want to say anything negative about any dietary advice, but it's so much that even for me, it's very confusing what I should eat. But I found in my own life, and this is also based on traditional Chinese medicine, that regularity is often not emphasized enough. Regular eating, and of course, we shouldn't be too dogmatic about it, but having 3 meals a day regularly, don't change them too much, don't change the times too much, can really give the digestive organs time to relax, to empty themselves, to really digest the food properly, rather than to go again for some other food. And this way they can really clean themselves and prepare for the next meal. So this is one piece of advice. And the same with sleep and other things. The body really likes regularity. You know, our ancestors, most of maybe all of our ancestors were farmers, and farmers really lead a very regular life. They get up, they tend to, you know, the animals if they have, they tend to the fields, they eat something, some more work, and it's a hard life, but the regularity of it, the body can prepare with certain enzymes, knowing, oh, breakfast is coming, oh, lunch is coming, and then the digestive will be much more easy than if we 1 hour late or 2 hour early and rushed. And so regularity number two, I'll give another one, why not, is trying to be grateful. I really feel cultivating gratefulness is also really good for our health, and that doesn't have to be complicated. Just whenever we eat a meal, if we take a few seconds to contemplate that we have a nice meal, we are eating this food now, and so many people worked so hard for us to have this food on the plate. The farmer, the people transported it, people making it something different, the cook, people serving us. It's wonderful. Even a very simple meal can become something we can smile about and we feel blessed about. And this cultivation of gratefulness, I feel, can really go out to our life and really enrich it and increase our health as well.
You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. My name is Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at catherinekerrigan.com and unlimitedenergynow.com. And while you're there, sign up for my newsletter, which is now on Substack. Our guest today, explaining how acupuncture works, has been Jan Jarlsveld from the Netherlands, an acupuncturist in the Netherlands, and you can find out more about Jan Jarlsveld and his wonderful work at his website www.itchi-go.nl. And while you're there, he's very generously offered to give us all a free book about moxibustion, so you can download his free book about moxibustion. And remember, when you balance your acupuncture meridians, your body heals itself naturally. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.